This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with a man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Good the Thursday morning. This is DCR, Rick DiPietro, Chris Canty, Dave Rothenberg coming to you live on 98.7 ESPN New York. We got an unbelievable show, action-packed show planned for you today. Knicks lose another close one. Canty's in full panic mode. Yankees lose, finally, to the Orioles at the stadium. Mets, I don't even want to talk about it. Islanders, David, you and your Fugazi hockey show. Dave Rothenberg's going to break down a big, big Islanders trade. Big Islanders trade. We got David Quinn on the show today. We got draft expert Matt Miller on the show today. But before we get into all of that, I'm going to pass this one off to our fearless leader, David Aloysius Rothenberg.
I don't know how you knew it was Aloysius. That was beautiful.
Phenomenal, I mean, Dave.
Two weeks ago, it's as if you were new to the English language. Last week, you were very good, but had the DPR. And
this
today,
is DPR, DCR.
Yeah, today, flawless. Absolutely flawless. You've made it a staple of your open, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. You got into the guests. You got into things that happened. I mean, that you are officially a full radio host. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, David. I was going to try out a new open, but I said, you know, I got to stick with wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. I'm like,
although, for those that don't know, and nobody could possibly know, we are in our pre-show meeting. And I believe the quote, as we were just about to leave the Zoom call and get onto the radio portion of things, were, who's opening this thing today? And I hear, you are. I don't want to do it. There's too much pressure. I don't want to do it.
And he did great, Dave.
He
That's
did
the
great.
Thing. He's all
he did
panicked
great.
About opening the show, and he did perfectly fine.
I
Matter of fact, it was more than fine. It was phenomenal.
I believe
Thank
the quote
job,
was, I don't want to do this no more. That's, I believe, the eloquent quote from one Rick DiPietro.
Oh, man.
But very well done. Congratulations. See, it wasn't that bad.
It's one of those things that it feels worse when you think about it. And then when you're actually doing it, you kind of almost black out and you just
This is your baby now.
Stuff.
Thursday mornings is your baby. And we're gonna lead you to the point that when I take a day off, you're going to be able to do it for 3 hours.
No. That's not going to happen. Just send me your days off so I can coordinate, because I'm not doing that every single day for 3 hours. No,
all right. So let's get into it. Chris Canty, doing good? I mean, outside of the obvious with the Yankees and, well, I guess you don't care about the Knicks that much, but the Yankees and I guess you don't care about the Mets that much. You doing okay outside of the Yankees loss?
Dave, I'm fine. And the Yankees lost yesterday. I'm not going to panic about it. It's one of those things that's, it's annoying, man. It's like the game that we talked about in the series prior. I mean, it's just another one of those annoying losses. There were plenty of opportunities to win that game. The bullpen gave you a chance. I thought Taillon was great for his first outing back in a couple of years, being able to go almost five innings and only giving up the two home runs, two solo shots, which were mistakes. But I thought the pitching gave the lineup a chance, and the lineup just didn't come through. So, again, the Yankees having issues with timely hits. And then, of course, Gleyber Torres at shortstop with another throwing error. It was another annoying loss from the Yankees, Dave, and I'm tired of it. I'm just annoyed by it. And then on top of that, we got the Aaron Judge saga, who, you know, a week into the season, he's got to miss a game, and they're saying that it's a planned day off right before a scheduled day off for the Yankees in terms of them having a break and not having any games. So it's just, it's one of those games, one of those days as a Yankees fan. It just, it's annoying. That's the best term I can use.
Yeah, but that's the story. I mean, again, we're so early on in the season. I get it. You don't want a team that you've owned. You've won, 12 straight going into yesterday's game against the Orioles at the stadium?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a game that you obviously don't want to lose, especially, you know, with Torres making another play at shortstop that has you scratching your head. And that's the risk you run when you don't have a guy over at first base that's comfortable at first base. Because that's, I mean, as bad as that throw was, a regular first baseman makes that play.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
So I get the frustration, but the real story is that Aaron Judge is already dealing with general side soreness and has to miss
a game. But we knew this last week. We knew there was something wrong. You don't put him into the DH spot where he's not really a DH, and this is after a day off, and now he gets the time off, and now all of a sudden it's side soreness, and Boone is already hemming and hawing about Friday. They're off today. Is he going to play on Friday? Well, we'll see. We're not really sure right now. I mean, you tell me you don't expect him to wind up on the injured list. And that's the thing with Aaron Judge. It's always the same thing. When he's there, he's great. The problem is he's not always there. And this has become a theme with Aaron Judge now.
But, Dave, here's the thing, though. If you're giving him these days off right before the team has an off day, I just don't understand why he would need to miss more time if this is something preemptive.
Like, if he's
hurt. If this is something that they're doing as load management, I just don't understand why he would have to miss any more time.
But you don't buy it, do you? I think he's hurt.
Well, that's what they're saying, Dave. I got to take them at their word this early in the season. I don't want to think there's something really wrong with Aaron Judge. Otherwise, you got to start to question whether or not the juice is worth the squeeze. Like, that's the point that we're getting to with this player.
Yeah, no, I'm
like,
there.
He's really, really good when he's available. The only problem is he's not available often enough for the team to be able to trust him.
This is the same, Rick, it's the same thing every single season. They played their sixth game last night. They've had multiple days off. The guy's DH, now he couldn't play. You don't think that there's something really wrong? This is not load management. Stop.
No, I would imagine. Speaking of load management, completely threw that out the window. Totally redeemed myself yesterday.
Well, a long way to return back from yesterday's stories, by the way.
No, trust me. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, I went seven strong yesterday.
Really?
Yes. Seven strong.
Every night,
a quality start?
More than quality. This was...
Yeah?
Yeah, this was like Garrett Cole.
I got some sexy undies.
Did they put you out in the eighth inning, or did they remove you before that?
No, I decided that it was for the safety of everyone involved that I would have to take myself out after the seventh.
77.
I didn't want to risk
seven, and that was it.
Yeah, I didn't want to risk going up for the eighth. No, but even he's dealing with something, right? Like, this is a situation where they're doing their best to try to keep him healthy, and unfortunately with the Yankees, outside of LeMay, who's been, over the last 2 years, he's been your MVP, he's been your best
Correct.
Player. And even he at this point, he had a chance there in the eighth, with runners on first and third, two outs, to drive in that, the third run that would have probably won the game for the winning run for the Yankees there in the eighth, because Chapman was filthy again. But, yep. That's been a problem with the Yankees. Two of your most important bats have been guys that can't stay healthy. And when they are healthy and they're both hitting at the same time, the Yankees are tough to beat.
But they never are.
But that's the problem. And you're trying to make, and for Aaron Boone, you're trying to manage that, which makes it difficult. Where it's like, and it pisses off Yankees fans because you're like, all right, I'm paying Stanton all this money and all he does is DH. You meaning to tell me you can't DH in five straight games?
Well, that's the thing. Remember last week when they DH'd Judge and they put Stanton to the bench, and we thought, come on, give me a break. And they had this whole song and dance with Stanton. I don't think that was nothing about Stanton. That was the fact that they wanted to keep Judge in the lineup, and he wasn't able to play the field, and they wanted to give him really the day off from playing in right field.
Yeah, but you can't. Here's the thing. I want to believe, me personally, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, that there is something he's dealing with. Because if this was just, he's got general soreness and we wanted to schedule a day off, and medical staff, training staff thought this was the right way to do it. With today off, the way that Aaron Judge is swinging the bat, I can't accept that. I can't accept that you're going to have a scheduled day off.
It's not general soreness. Come on. There's no way you can give a guy a day off for general soreness when you've had a day off, he's just DH, and you have a day off the next day. There is no way you guys believe he's suffering from general soreness and he's fine. You can't.
No, Dave. Context matters, and the injury history from Aaron Judge would suggest that there's something bigger at play here. The only thing is you're wondering how long is this going to keep him out the lineup, and if he doesn't play tomorrow, that's one of those things that you start to worry about. Okay, what are we going to do with Aaron Judge long term? You'd hate to have to put the guy in bubble wrap a week into the season because you're afraid he's not going to be able to stay healthy. Like, this is a guy that you're depending on to play right field for 120 games. I'm terrified as a Yankees fan because this is one of the guys that we thought was going to be a cornerstone on a team that was going to go on a dynastic run, And I can't trust it enough that he's going to be available when the team needs him most. That's the scariest thing when it comes with Aaron Judge, because the talent is undeniable. You'd love to have a guy like him on your team, not just from a production standpoint, but what he brings to your clubhouse. But, Dave, you can't depend on the guy because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, but I think the most important part is, I mean, you've seen when he is able to stay healthy. I mean, you go back to 2017. When he does stay healthy, which is, I mean, really is only 1 year, I mean, he's an MVP. I mean, he should have, let's be honest, he should have won the MVP that season.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up losing Altuve, but he should have.
He's never healthy, though. He's never healthy.
No,
and
I know, but
you're going to have to pay this guy big money soon.
Well, no, you're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah, but that's my what I was about to say.
But here's the point, Dave, is you wouldn't be, I mean, you'd be frustrated, but you wouldn't be as frustrated if you hadn't seen what you saw in 2017. What a full season for Aaron Judge looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's different level. That's all of a sudden you're talking with what he does defensively in right field, what he does for your lineup. I mean, that takes you a different level.
Yeah, he's one of the best players in baseball. He's one of the best players in all of baseball.
Exactly.
There's nothing he can't do. When he's healthy and he's right, he's outside of maybe Mike Trout. And I mean, I don't know. He's right there. Yeah. He runs the bases well. He's a terrific hitter for power. His average is not bad, although he does strike out a lot. He's a great right fielder, both you know, with his arm and making plays in the field. He's a great player. But, I mean, you have to come to terms with the fact this guy is always, always hurt. And I don't buy it at all. Not at all that this is general soreness. They know what's wrong. They're just not telling us right now.
Well, we're going to find out sooner rather than later, Dave. I mean, how long can they keep a lid on this thing if he doesn't play tomorrow? Like, that's the thing.
And it's not like Aaron Boone came out yesterday and said, no, he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow. He hemmed and hawed his way around that last night, too.
No, but here's the thing, Dave. You can't say that we plan to have this off day for Aaron Judge right before the team has an off day after the O's series. You can't say that and then not have the guy in the lineup when you start the next series. Otherwise, everybody's going to know that there is something wrong with Aaron Judge, and then the speculation starts about when he's going to go on the IL and then whether or not the Yankees should think about moving on from Aaron Judge and trying to get as much as they can for him just because they can't rely on the guy being in the lineup. That conversation is going to happen if Aaron Judge doesn't start playing as soon as they start this next set. That's going to happen, no question about it.
Rick, I don't know. I don't know if you guys are here with me right now. I think right now, as we sit here, before I even know what's going to happen, you have a major problem on your hands.
Well, of course it's a problem because you realize how important he is and what kind of player he is. But the fact is, and I would lean right now towards what you're saying, Dave, is that he's dealing with something and they don't want to make it worse. He feels something in his side, and the last thing they want to do is have him blow out his oblique and miss an extended period of time. So they're trying to be cautious with it.
Right.
Because I can't, I refuse. Because, I mean, if that's the case, you know how much I hate what the nerds have done to baseball. Like, I believe in some of the analytics stuff. Because, I mean, if you can maximize your chances to win, I'm fully on board with that. But, I mean, to sit here and tell me, the way that Aaron Judge is swinging the bat right now, that you don't believe in a guy being hot.
And you played five games.
To have a scheduled day off going into game six with a day off today is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
And you haven't even traveled yet. You haven't even gotten onto an airplane yet and gone anywhere.
But how can you tell me that? That's what I don't understand. It's a bunch of guys that have never played baseball before telling me, oh, look at the numbers. We don't believe in hot and cold. And then every player that you talk to, I don't care what the sport is, will tell you to a man that exists.
Yeah.
Nerd! Yeah. Like, you can't explain it. It just happens. Like, as a goalie, there'd be times where all of a sudden the puck looks like it's going, you know, 15 miles an hour and it's the size of a beach ball. And then there's other times when the puck looks like they're shooting a pea at you and it's going 200 miles an hour. In those times when the puck looks like a beach ball, you better ride me like Seabiscuit. I ain't taking no scheduled days off because that can turn in a hurry. Game six with a day off today. And you're going to, that was a scheduled day off. Why are we doing scheduled days off this early in the season?
That's an issue. Somewhere there's an issue. Whether it's the fact that you're giving this guy a scheduled day off as you hit game six, whether it's the fact that there's something wrong with the oblique, whether it's the fact that there is just general soreness five games into a season, there is a real problem. I don't know exactly what it is, but there is a real issue right now.
So Dave, you see how upset Rick is right now with this? You see how angry he is about this Aaron Judge situation?
So what do you think? This is the closet Yankee fan coming out?
100%. This is absolutely coming out. Like, you see the passion that he's talking about this with.
Rick, how do you answer that?
No, I've dedicated my whole life to the sport. My entire life has been dedicated.
You know, Don LaGreca says something very similar. His entire life has been dedicated to baseball.
No, but even like even the Mets yesterday. Like, why is Jeff McNeil? I get it. He hasn't got a hit, but he's smashing the ball right now. Why is Jeff McNeil not in the lineup? I don't get it. Like, what are we doing? I don't understand what we're doing now in baseball. I get it. I understand that analytics, you know, works for teams. But don't sit here and lie to my face and tell me, oh, it's a scheduled day off. If I'm Aaron Judge and they came to me and said, we're going to do a scheduled day off, and I'd say, have you seen what I look like at the plate right now? Well, let's save that scheduled day off for when I'm not seeing the ball well.
Cal Ripken doesn't know about this. Scheduled days off 5 games into the season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The Masters actually starts today. You're familiar with the golfing event down there in Georgia, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it all week.
You didn't mention it either.
Well, you drive the show. I figured you would mention it.
And well, you opened the show this morning, though.
Go back and forth. That was actually on my notes.
you had it in notes and you didn't mention it? And then you blame me for not mentioning it?
Well, no, I went too long. I was like, this open's going to go too long if I start doing everything that I had,
why?
I had written out.
It was a beautiful open. Nobody stood in your way and said, don't continue along here.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes too much of a good thing is just too much.
No.
Not sometimes.
Yes. What are you talking about,
yes,
Dave?
Yes.
Only a couple things. Too much of a good thing.
No, keep going with it.
I don't want to eat up the whole first segment.
You got a five-minute open?
you could have made mention that the Masters starts today. By the way, weather is supposed to be a major issue down there.
Yeah, not today, though. Not today, though. They said this in this course is playing, like, the scores you saw.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw CC was on yesterday with KJZ because he cheats on us regularly. But they were saying, I mean, it's the greens are just lightning fast right now.
So your weather outside is weather.
Right, you're locked in. How much golf will you watch over the next 4 days?
As much as humanly possible. I mean, it's going to all depend on, you know, what's going on with the kids. Milo had tennis yesterday. So we have tennis, now soccer starting, baseball starting. There's nothing better. Dave, I don't know if you feel the same way, but watching your kid have fun, like playing and doing well playing a sport.
It's great.
Is like, I had a smile on my face the entire time. Because Cassie's got him, like, all dolled up. Like, he's got, like, you know, fancy new tennis shoes. He's got, like, this all-Nike matching outfit with, like...
Is he wearing all white? Please tell me he's wearing all white.
No, not all white. He had black polo, Nike polo, black shorts, black socks. He had the Nike sneakers. He had a Nike headband on. It was hilarious.
Oh, he's swagged out. He is
all swagged out. He's doing the shuffle thing, and he's doing the two-handed backhand. And the coach is, like, his teacher's like, oh, great shot, Milo. And he's like... He's, like, celebrating after he gets a good shot.
Nice.
It was hysterical.
Oh, man.
Yes, it's great. Watching your kids
I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. That's going to be fun.
Yep, it absolutely is. All right, so 800-919-3776. The golf starts later this morning. Weather's supposed to be an issue over the course of the weekend. Islanders with a big trade. Give me 30 seconds on that. Maybe we'll revisit it later. This is a good trade for the Islanders, no?
No, it's a great trade.
Yeah.
But this is kind of what I expected, right, is... You know, Lou was definitely going to make a move. You lose Anders Lee on that top line. He had to make a move. Jersey ends up holding out Palmieri. I mean, if you heard Palmieri, too, I mean, he couldn't be more excited to be an Islander. Not only did you get Palmieri, you get Zajac, who is another center. So now you got, I mean, you almost have too much depth up the middle, which in reality you can't have. And, you know, Palmieri, both versatile guys. It's, you gave up, you know, a couple prospects, which are just okay prospects. The first round pick, you would imagine.
Two,
is not going to be a great first round pick. So
one.
We'll hear more about that on Saturday.
and I'm told that I would have let you drone on for 45 or 50 seconds. I was told 30 seconds was the max.
I got a tweet yesterday from a.
He was very angry at you.
Well, no, I actually got two because people like we don't talk about it enough, but people are fired up about the Islanders. I don't know how you can't be fired up about the Islanders.
Be.
Of course you should be, but I got a, let me find it. I got a tweet from, and he listens in South America. He said, I live in Colombia, South America. I get no hockey, just stats. He's a religious listener. And he said, can we please just get five minutes a week on the Islanders, please?
Mm. I'm not opposed.
That's the least we could do.
I'm not opposed, even though I'm a Rangers
fan. A minute a day. We could do like a hockey minute a day.
And there you go.
I would be surprised if you get all of a sudden you get a golf show on Sundays now.
No, that's too much for me. Anita has a golf show.
Anita has that. Yeah, I was about to say.
They give it to the experts. They deem me as the expert. They said, Rothenberg, do the hour hockey. I got you. They said, Anita, do the hour for golf. She's got that covered. So we have all the secondary sports covered in their own mini shows.
Disgust me.
I know it does, which makes it even more terrific. All right, let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. Let's start out with Anthony in Staten Island. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love listening to you guys. This is for mostly Chris and Rick about Judge. You guys are big-time athletes. You know, I played big-time college sports. If I ever went to my coach and told him I was generally sore, he would use some words that obviously I cannot use on radio. But what is your guys' take on that? Is he just, you know, I love the Yankees. I love Judge. But is he just soft? What's going on?
No, I'm not going to say he's soft, man. This guy is a phenomenal baseball player, but he just can't stay healthy. I mean, it's like a Ferrari. It's not built for, you know, a road trip. This is one of those things that you just show it. You want to pull up to the valet, but you don't want to drive that thing over 10 miles. I mean, that's kind of what Aaron Judge has become the last 3 years. And with the Yankees, when you're trying to compete for championships, you need that guy in the lineup, you know, more often than not. I mean, you want him out in right field at least 120 games, and you'd have him DH, you know, another 10 to 15 in an ideal scenario, but that's not what you got. That's not what you've been getting from him. At some point, that has to change. He has to be available. Otherwise, you can't depend on him. And I think the Yankees are getting to that point with Aaron Judge where they're going to have to make a decision on what they're going to do with him long term. And for a guy that can't seem to shake the injury bug, I don't know how you could trust him enough to be able to give him a long term contract.
No, it's like Dave being generally creepy. It's kind of what general.
Wow.
You know, I wasn't even involved in that. Why do you have to go there?
Because I was trying to involve you in the conversation. Yes, Chris and I, but I figured I would.
Well, I didn't need to be involved.
I would bring you into it.
He didn't even ask me. He asked you guys. You guys are answering the question. I step back because that's what a good teammate does, and you have to bring me back into the conversation. Why can't you just answer the question?
Well, I don't think, to Chris's point, Aaron Judge is not soft. I mean, what they're trying to do is they're trying to manage him to make sure they have him in the lineup as much as
possible.
They're
not trying to manage him. He's hurt.
No,
come
but,
on.
What they're saying, Dave. That's it.
Well, no, there's a difference between being hurt and feeling something and, you know, not making the decision that we err on the side of caution so we don't make it worse. Like, if he took a swing during the course of one of the last game and he said, you know, he felt a twinge in his side, and then he wakes up the next day and it's a little bit sore. It's not an oblique strain, but it's like, you know, it could get to that point if we keep pushing it. But everyone's sore.
Like, but if once you're sore 5 games into the season?
Dave, the second, Chris will agree with me when I say this. From the second you start training camp.
Oh, yeah.
There isn't a day you go by that goes by when you're not generally sore.
Okay, yeah, but you should be less generally sore now than you will be generally sore in 4 months from now.
Yeah, but again, the reason why all these athletes are having a hard time staying healthy is because, you know, Chris mentioned it. You got a bunch of Ferraris when you need, I mean, especially in baseball, you need a bunch of F-150s. Like they're in such great shape, and they never give themselves an opportunity to rest and recover. Like the amount of, like, I was talking to a couple buddies that play, and they said, yeah, I mean, you couldn't believe the amount of swings these guys take before the game actually even starts. Like, I mean, just the amount
constant.
Of swings in the cages that they take is crazy.
It's hours and hours and hours of repetitive motion over and over and over. Paul in Mayapak. Good morning, Paul. You're next up on 98.7.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Good.
Dave, sorry I missed your practice yesterday. Rick, great job opening this morning. And Chris, congratulations. I'm tired of listening about these Yankees. Tired of Judge. Tired of hearing about him. Tired of the booing with Stanton. Tired of Aaron Boone, and I'm tired of not booing Aaron Hicks. Something's got to be done. It's frustrating. It's really, really frustrating, and I'm borderline about to jump ship. I'm sorry I'm out of breath. I'm on the treadmill.
Wow.
Look at you getting your workout in. Unlike somebody on the show that's allergic to the treadmill.
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
It's just annoying. It's just they baby these guys. These guys are 24 to 29 years old. They're supposed to be in great shape. They're supposed to be Ferraris.
That's not what you need right now. In baseball, you don't need a bunch of Ferraris.
Nope.
Like, you need guys that can stay healthy. And unfortunately, I know it's frustrating for you. I would imagine it's frustrating for Aaron Boone, too, because it's so nice. I mean, it would be nice to just, you know, as a manager, wake up every morning and know exactly who's going to be playing every single day. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to manage this thing. Those two guys are important guys. Like, if you're going to try to win, if you're going to get to where you want to get, which is the World Series, you're going to try to manage these guys throughout the course of the year. And if you're a Yankees fan, it sucks, and you get aggravated because you want to see Judge play every day, and you want to see, I mean, I guess some Yankees fans want to see Stanton play every day. He's going to play every day, but...
You want to see them in the lineup every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you want to see your team win. Because you want to see your team win. And those guys give you the best chance to win. And right now, he's clearly... Because I'm not buying. I can't. I cannot. I can't wrap my head around scheduled day off with a day off today.
No way. No, there's zero. I can't. There's zero chance. And you know what? If there's no way that I believe that for a second. And if that is true, that is pathetic. So I'm of the mindset there is absolutely something wrong. And they wouldn't even commit. Otherwise, why wouldn't they commit to him playing tomorrow, Chris? Boone was asked it after the game last night. If this is a scheduled day off and general soreness, you'd think he would say, of course he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow. He didn't say anything like that about the game tomorrow. He hemmed and hawed and talked his way around it.
Yeah, Dave, because he didn't want to box himself into a corner and force the organization to make a decision or a determination one way or the other. Like, they want to get through today, see how Aaron Judge feels, and then they'll adjust the plan accordingly tomorrow. And whether that means he's in the lineup or not, they'll figure that out when they have to deal with it. They'll cross that bridge when they get to it. But my thing is this. They don't want to ring any alarms with the fan base or the media that something is really wrong with Aaron Judge. But behind the scenes, they got to be nervous as hell, Dave, because we're a week into the season. The Yankees have played two series. The guy's DH'd in one game. He's had one game off, and already you're talking about the possibility of him being on the IL. Like, at some point, you start to worry about, can this guy actually stay healthy? And that old adage that Herm Edwards said, the best ability is availability. Well, Aaron Judge isn't available enough for this team. As good as he is, he's always hurt.
Always.
And I don't know how you can trust him. I don't know how you can rely on him, especially when we get to winning time, knowing that there's a possibility he could be out of your line.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN. This is DCR.
Friday Night Lights. I won't have a nervous breakdown when I watch the football scenes of Friday Night Lights.
Hermia's offensive line is being
done. It's first and 10 from the 27. The announcer's like, they picked up 18, and now it's first and 10 from the 29.
Winchell is driven.
How did you do this?
It's not great.
Did they not talk to anybody that knew anything about the game of football when they filmed this movie? And it's such a good movie, and the football scenes are so bad.
This is DCR.
Basketball is back.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, we got one for Canty, the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR 98.7 ESPN. Basketball is back. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on DCR Peer via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's go right to the hotline, Rick. Let's bring in NFL draft scout, NFL draft expert, Matt Miller. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. So here's what I want to know, and I don't know if everyone does it the same or not. When you do a mock draft, do you do it on what you think should and will happen, or do you do it on what you think will, in fact, happen with these teams?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I try to preface this at the top of every mock draft article that I write. Basically, my thinking is a mock draft is a prediction of what will happen, so it's based on what I'm hearing from sources around the NFL. It's based on, you know, conversations with other people in the media who are more, you know, information gatherers. It's based on conversations even with agents who say, like, yeah, here my guy's going to go in this range, and you try to connect all those dots. And so with mock drafts, I try to bring all the information to the table because – I look at that as people want they want that prediction of what's going to happen. What should happen, every now and then I'll throw one of those out of like, okay, if I was a New York Jets pick number two, I would select Justin Fields. Here's why. What I think will happen is that they will draft Zach Wilson. So you try to differentiate between the two, but it is difficult, and everyone wants those mock drafts. There's an insatiable need for them. And I look at it as people want to know what's going to happen on April 29th.
So, Matt, I mean, you're not the only one. There are plenty of people I listen to that say that, I mean, Justin Fields is the second-best quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence, and it's actually the gap isn't crazy big. Like Justin Fields, talent-wise and everything else, upside is right there. But it doesn't seem like everyone agrees with that. What's going on with Justin Fields?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question right now that no one really has an answer to. And I think that's why you're hearing so many of us talk about it, because it is confusing to – we're in that time of year where you're finalizing your tape study, and like with Justin Fields, I've been done for a while, but I know a lot of my colleagues are getting caught up coming off of other assignments. And so you watch Justin Fields and you're like, hey, why aren't more and more people talking about this guy? He's really, really good. And then you see the pro day workout, which was exceptional. So like, if we're going to put stock in pro days, his was the best that I've seen so far this year. And then you look at the athleticism. And I think this is where I have a hard time with Justin Fields is we hear about, you know, Zach Wilson, and I really like Zach Wilson. He's a good quarterback. You hear about Trey Lance, and even with Mac Jones, and the one thing that people say about them is their potential. You know, oh, if Mac Jones gets in Kyle Shanahan's scheme, or, oh, my gosh, Zach Wilson with his ability to play off-platform and be creative. But we don't, or people aren't giving Justin Fields the same, like, leeway of potential, basically, which is crazy to me because he's has the strongest arm. He's the most athletic. And so if we're betting on potential, and I've said this before, if we're betting on potential, give me the strongest arm, the most athletic, and the guy who played 2 years in the Big Ten and didn't lose a game in conference. And again, not to you know, put Zach Wilson down or Trey Lance down or Mac Jones down. Trey Lance and Mac Jones started 17 games in college. That is a shockingly low number. There are very few quarterbacks in the NFL who've had success starting less than 20 games. It's not a pretty list. And, you know, with Zach Wilson, we have to really figure out, was 2020 the Zach Wilson that you're going to get, or was 2019 the Zach Wilson you're going to get? So, to me, it feels like Justin Fields has the highest potential and the fewest question marks. And yet he's being talked about as he might be the fifth quarterback drafted, which I think is a mistake, but NFL teams are going to do what they do.
All right. So Matt, it feels like we know the Jets are going to take Wilson at two. But how do you, and I want your opinion and not what you think the Jets or whoever's going to do at two, how do you have the quarterbacks ranked in order?
Yeah, I have it Trevor Lawrence, then a nice little gap. I should have Justin Fields and Zach Wilson ranked right beside each other. I put Fields over Wilson again because of the arm talent, the athleticism, and because there are fewer questions. I feel like scouting is trying to figure out what a guy can do and what questions do you have that you can't get answered. And I think with Zach Wilson, there are more questions that I can't get answered based on level of competition, the jump from 2019 to 2020. I think they're very close, though. Then I have it Trey Lance and then Mac Jones. And I'll be honest, I'm Mac Jones in the number, like the 20s overall, like 25 overall. Those other four quarterbacks I have in the top 10. So I think the top four that we were talking about back in December are still really, really good. And then we've kind of had this Mac Jones meteoric rise from being that might be nice, like a nice late first round, early second round pick to now the number three overall pick. It's been pretty wild to watch.
See, that's what's amazing to me, Matt. Mac Jones is, he's a good quarterback. But for Kyle Shanahan to trade, I mean, two extra first-round picks to move all the way up to three, I get Mac Jones, you know, reminds people of, you know, Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins, and he'd fit well in the system. But if you're going to move up and give away that much draft equity, I mean, wouldn't you want someone that has more upside than a Mac Jones?
Yeah, that's what I would want, right? And to look at where the NFL is going, and I've tried looking at this from every different way because I don't want to follow the groupthink and be like, well, Adam Schefter says it's going to be Mac Jones, and you know Daniel Jeremiah says it's going to be Mac Jones, so I better get in line with those. I don't like to be that guy. I try to be discerning when it comes to this work, and you try to look at it from all these different angles. And the problem is that everyone you talk to says, yeah, it's going to be Mac Jones. And so you just, at some point, if enough people tell you something, you say, okay, I think this is going to happen. And I would think that looking at where the NFL is going, you would want someone with more athletic ability, you know, especially in San Francisco where you have such a good defense and you know that you can scheme up a run game. Wouldn't you want a quarterback who can kind of take games over and beat teams a couple different ways with his arm and his legs? And you look at, you know, they've lost to Patrick Mahomes. They got beaten down by Josh Allen. They have to deal with Russell Wilson. They have to deal with Kyler Murray. You would think that you would want a dynamic quarterback having had those experiences, but I think this will be an interesting tell of does Kyle Shanahan believe so much in his system that he's going to get the perfect fit for it. And I do think Mac Jones is a very good fit for his system, as opposed to taking this opportunity to evolve that scheme and modernize it. You know, this is a very complex scheme. It's a very beautiful scheme, but we've never seen it really operated with somebody who can move out of the pocket as a runner. So I think we'll know April 29th if Kyle is going to be kind of stubborn with, you know, the rigidness of the scheme, or if he's going to, you know, open things up and try something new.
Matt Miller with us, NFL Draft Scout on 98.7 ESPN. Let me ask you about the Giants. If the Giants were to take an edge rusher at 11, because a lot of people think they're going to take now the kid from Georgia is a name that's popping up, or Pay out of Michigan. Do you is that a mistake? Like, are you reaching for an edge rusher if you take him at 11 in this draft?
Maybe. I think the biggest thing is, so the Giants don't need a quarterback, so we could take those five guys out of the conversation. We drafted really well last year for a left tackle, so you could almost take Penei Sewell from Oregon and Rashawn Slater from Northwestern out of the conversation. So if you take those seven guys out, and the top pass catchers are off the board. Kyle Pitts from Florida will be gone. Jamar Chase will be gone. So you get to a point where you're looking at who are the best players available at a position of need. And we could be looking at Quiddy Pay from Michigan, Jalen Phillips from the University of Miami. You mentioned Aziz Ojulari from Georgia. You could actually be looking at one of those players as they might not be the number one guy on my board or Mel Kiper's board when the number 11 pick comes around, but they might be the number one player at a position of need. And so I think that's a way that Giants fans have to look at this is, okay, you know, Jalen Phillips might be the number 15 player on my board. Well, 15 to 11 is not a huge jump, but if players 11, 12, 13, 14 are not at a need, then you could understand Dave Gettleman saying, okay, with pass rush is still one of the four most important positions on the field. We've got to get better there, even if it's a tiny reach. No one's going to remember that we reached for a player if he produces at our biggest area of need. So I think that is something where, whether it's Pay or Phillips, I like both of those players a lot. If they select them over a Jalen Waddle, I don't think that's egregious. Like, you know, draft analysts aren't going to give you an F for making that pick. And, you know, to be quite honest, I will throw myself in the front of this line. We have not been very good at analyzing Dave Gettleman's drafts. You know, a lot of people, myself included, thought Daniel Jones was a reach. He's played well. Last year, Andrew Thomas was not the consensus top tackle. A lot of people thought they could have traded back and still got him. Turns out he played exceptionally well as a rookie. So Gettleman has been a little bit smarter than his critics in understanding value and understanding what his team needs. And so I think he's earned a little bit of leverage this year to, at 11, if they get a pass rusher, you really got to wait and see, because a lot of his moves, you know, Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, a lot of those moves have panned out when there were many, many critics of them beforehand.
Yeah, because Dave Gettleman's the smartest guy in the room, and he's going to tell you that. He's wicked smart.
I was trying to work that in, you know. But
no, you could have. Listen, it's not a tough accent. And Dave puts a little extra on it, too. I'm not even convinced he's really from that area. Matt, what are the deepest position groups in this year's draft?
Oh, man, I think so running back and wide receiver have just become always deep position groups, right? So we know those are always going to be deep. I think offensive tackle is really deep this year. You know, and there's going to be Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater drafted in the top 12 picks, but then there's really good depth, you know, throughout the first round, second round. I think you're looking at maybe even starting caliber players in the third round. On the defensive side, it's a really deep year for linebackers. It's a really deep year for safeties. I think corner is pretty good. So unfortunately, you know, for Giants fans, this is kind of a weaker year at defensive end. It's a weaker year at defensive tackle. It's a weaker year at tight end. So some positions, it almost feels cyclical with them, but you would really like if this draft had a deeper front four position groups, it would be going down as a much better draft class overall than it is.
All right, Matt, listen, we appreciate it. We're 3 weeks from today, so we're down to not too much time. Let's talk again before we get to April 29th, and great stuff as always. We appreciate the insight.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Very, very good. All right, there you have Matt Miller. I love the draft.
I love it.
I could talk nonstop draft.
I mean, you're texting me to stop. I have like 57 more questions.
Well, just because I know he has other stuff to do.
You know what I would love?
I don't want to keep him forever.
You know what I would love to see? If they actually let like a handful of guys, like a McShay, a Kiper, Matt, like just five guys.
Right.
Like or each network picks their one draft expert and actually allows the draft expert to sit down with the draft picks. And then see what their mock drafts look like, and see if it would be closer to what you actually
when you sit down and talk to these kids.
Yeah, because I don't understand. Like, it's such, the opinions are so different. Mm-hmm. They're watching the same tape, and you see what, I mean, especially the quarterback position. What a crapshoot it is.
Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, the Giants took. I mean, pretty much the consensus. I don't know, third or fourth tackle last year. And they took fourth overall.
But it's what you prioritize, right?
Well, that's right. Well, I think that makes to your point.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
David Quinn. How you feeling, Coach? What's going on?
I feel pretty good. It was a frustrating stretch there when I had COVID and just laying on my couch watching hockey, but it's good to be back.
Let me ask you a question, Coach, because this is the line you get from coaches when they want a healthy scratch you. Well, maybe it'll do you some good to kind of watch from the press box and pick out some things that you maybe missed by playing. Was there anything you noticed? I know it was frustrating. I can only imagine. But were there any things you noticed just being able to take a step back from the bench and watching it on TV that you've kind of incorporated now that you're back?
Yeah, it was funny because I actually talked to Pete DeBoer because he went through it early in the head coach of Vegas. And when I got diagnosed and then knew I was going to miss some time and some games, I just kind of called him to, pick his brain on how he handled it, what he thought of the experience. And the first thing he said to me, he said, this is going to be a good thing for you. You may not realize it, but you're going to step back. You're going to see things a little differently. Never bad to have a team take a break from a coach in the middle of the season because you're around each other so much and you hear the same voice over and over again. And he was right. I mean, certainly things that when I was watching, and even before that, to be honest with you, we're kind of creeping to the halfway point, and I think everybody kind of self-assesses some of the things they can do better or differently at that point in the season. And, I certainly was doing that before I got COVID. It actually started with the second Bruins game when we lost 4-0. Then the next night we actually beat them 4-0, paid them back, beat them 4-0. And then, we lost that tough overtime game to the Flyers 5-4. And that morning was when Fox and Buchnevich were held out of the game because of COVID protocol. And then that's when the staff was, that's when I got diagnosed and the staff was held out for a week. So, there were things you certainly sit back and look at and, the feedback you get. And, I feel a lot better about the way things are going now.
I was thinking about you, and I think we talked about it on the show. I think if memory serves correctly, that first game that you were not there, didn't the team score like 9 goals? Was that that game?
9-0.
Yeah,
nothing.
I mean, were you? Give me an honest answer. Were you at home thinking to yourself, all right, it's enough. Like save some of these, or you don't have to win this game 9. Like I'm not there now. You're gonna win it 9-0. Did you have that moment of just win it 4-3 and don't beat them, don't destroy them like they did?
Yeah, I mean, we're all human, right? I mean, you're sitting there going, Jesus, is it me? Do I need to sit on the couch for the rest of the season? I mean, that's the first reaction as you start piling goal after goal up, So without question, you start thinking, Jesus, maybe I have been the problem, So, but honestly, it was, you're just feeling so good for the players and you we're in a situation where, that point, and even now, obviously, it's, where we were and where we are. I mean, every game's a playoff game. It's just that's the way it's been for 2 or 3 weeks now, and, we've responded.
So are we at a point now, I mean, with every game as important as it is, trying to, make this last push for the playoffs, are we going to start to see more, like, ride the hot goalie? If it's Shesterkin, we're going to ride him like Seabiscuit down the stretch here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. To me, it's, you want to win hockey games, you want to make the playoffs. I mean, we're in that position where we're 5 points behind the Bruins. We play tonight, they play tonight, and we play them 2 more times. So, anything can happen in this setup because you play everybody. That's the good news. And, we like the direction we're going, where we like the way we've been playing. It's just, it's good to see that we're, we've made this push and we put ourselves in this position.
Yeah, Coach, in saying that, I wonder because I kind of, I like it, and I would imagine as a player I like it, getting a chance to play the team, multiple times. But how much harder is it to try to, you're trying to win every single one of these games, but it seems like when you play teams back-to-back, it's not easy to win both of those games. Is it more challenging now because you're playing the teams, in back-to-back games?
Yeah. Yeah, that, Ricky. It's hard to beat a team twice in a row, and especially when you're in our division. Everyone in hockey thinks we've got the best division in the league, so it's difficult, boy. You're playing the Penguins tonight. Beat them the other night, and it's going to be a grind tonight. And we actually played the Devils 4 in a row coming up here next week, which is just crazy. So it does get more difficult when you play someone over and over and over again.
Head coach of the Rangers, David Quinn, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I was thinking about you. I guess it was Saturday. How frustrated were you? You have the game against the Sabres first, and you let them tie the game up with like 3 seconds left. Then you win it in overtime, so I'm sure you're frustrated. But you got the 2 points, so you get out of there. And then the next time you play them, you have the lead again. 3 minutes to go, they tie the game, and you lose that on the 1 point. I mean, that's important, right? I mean, how frustrated were you not getting the 1 point against the Sabres in that game?
Yeah, it's huge. It's, something that we're still learning as a group. We win the night before, and it was an overtime, but, you know, I think human nature, you have 47 shots, you spend, you know, double the amount of time in the offensive zone, you feel like, boy, we're so much better, and then every game's different. You know, it's just because you do that one night doesn't mean you're going to do it another. Every game's different, and I just thought we kind of dropped our guard a little bit against Buffalo, and, you know, it's something we're learning, you know, and I think, you know, the next night Washington played the Devils, and they got outshot like 45-20, you know, Washington did, and they ended up finding a way to win. So, I mean, human nature can kick in, but it's an NHL. Guys are in the league because they belong here, and I don't care what somebody's record is. You better come ready to play or you're going to lose.
I got to be honest with you, though, Coach, watching a lot of these games, like, I mean, you guys have to be right up there top of the league of most games stolen by an opposing goalie. Like, it's
yeah,
amazing.
We've run into a situation where the other goalie has kind of, you know, done, you know, stolen some points. But you know what? I think at the end of the year, Ricky, it all ends up evening out. You know, but you know, we were talking about that earlier this week when early in the year we felt like we were playing our best hockey. You know, not our best hockey. We were playing really good hockey early, and we just weren't winning. We were, you know, fluky things were happening, and you know, and so we're hoping that it all evens out by the end of the year.
Zibanejad, you know, there were so many conversations about is he not right because of the COVID and or what's going on with him, and he was not scoring, and have we put that to rest? Is that something that we can no longer talk about?
Yeah, he's right now, I'll tell you that. He's and you know, never know how this thing affects people. I mean, we all think we know. I mean, it's just everybody gets affected differently. It can linger with some and not with others, and you just never know. But boy, has he been good. He has been so good for about the last month plus, and, you know, it's good to see him with a, you know, he was putting so much pressure on himself, too. He wants to win so bad, and he's such a great teammate, and, you know, there's just so many great things to say about him, and I'm just really happy for him that he's in the spot he's in right now, and happy for us.
Hey, Coach, how difficult is it, though? And again, I mean, I know the goal is always, regardless of the situation, is to make the postseason and compete for a Stanley Cup. But at the same time, you're still, I mean, you're one of the youngest teams. I think you guys are the youngest team in the NHL. Is it difficult sometimes where you're trying to juggle, okay, we have to win this game, but also trying to develop the young players at the same time?
Yes. It's a reality of the situation. The other night we had 8 players, 22 or younger in the lineup. I mean, just
that's crazy.
I had all the teams at BU, you know. So
you don't even recruit kids younger than 20 at BU.
No. I mean, I'm just laughing with Mike Hastings, who's the head coach of Minnesota State there in the Frozen Four. And he literally, 4 of his centers were older than 3 of ours at one point. So, I mean, it's just the reality of our situation. And but our young kids continue to do a great job. They're great kids. They're coachable. And, you know, it's just the reality of our situation. I think it's a testament to our older players that we're in the situation we're in and we're making this push.
Coach, when we had you on earlier in the season, I think you had the Islanders either that night or the next night. And I said, go out there and beat them 5-0. And you beat them 5-0. What do you want me to say for tomorrow night's game? What are you looking for?
Oh boy, I'm focusing on Pittsburgh. I know that's a coach talk, but another
give me a
five
score. I'll throw it out there to the atmosphere, so you can get the. You, how about 4-2? Sound good?
4-2 sounds good. I'd like 5-0 again, but I'll take 4-2.
All right, go out there and how about that? I'll get a double up for you. Win this game tonight.
All right, I like that.
Win this game tonight.
I like
at 5-2 tomorrow night. 4-2, and we'll talk to you next week. Yeah. When you guys are rolling along.
I love it. Well, good talking to you guys.
You too. Feel good, and we're glad that you're back and joining us again.
All
thanks
right.
So much.
Appreciate it.
Yep, great stuff. That's David Quinn. What's the matter? What do you?
He puts me in such a tough spot. I mean, he's just such a tough spot.
Because you love him.
I love him. I don't know how I couldn't love him.
Because he's
only put me in a utility closet to get dressed at BU. I mean, that's just, I can't help but not love him.
Yeah, you love him. And that, of course, the David Quinn Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains can make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle a reality. Stop in or they'll come to you for an at-home test drive that you can visit thepepioautogroup.com to shop all their luxury brands and the Macallan Double Cask 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey. Oh, great. They've messed up. Let's make fun of it. The perfect balance of American and European sherry seasonal casks. 2 worlds, 1 Macallan, imported by Edrington Americas. Please enjoy responsibly. I thought you were getting sent some reads today, no?
No, I never got any. I was going to help you out.
Of course you didn't.
Whatever I can do.
I had no control over my bowels. Or apparently what I say. Because that would have been perfect for you. The David Quinn Report, you could have brought him in, shown your skills, done the read, the open, the close, the whole thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what, Quinny? I mean, I already told him. I mean, it would be tough for me to make that commitment to be on the Rangers coaching staff. But as far as like that one missing element that could kind of take you to that next level, I mean, you're looking at him.
Would you join the Rangers if they said, we need you to coach this team? Not head coach. What we need you as the goaltender coach for the Rangers. Is that something you would do?
Well, they're definitely not going to hire me to do that. They have the best goalie coach in the league. They're not going to hire me to do that.
You can't understand a hypothetical
question. I'd be doing them a disservice.
Oh, my God. All right. If they hired you as an assistant coach, would you take a job with the Rangers?
That'd be tough. That would be tough. I don't know how Islanders fans would respond to that.
Well, forget about what the Islanders fan wants or thinks. Would you, Rick DiPietro, to further your career, take a job as an assistant coach with the Rangers?
I see what you're doing right now. I know what you're doing.
I'm merely asking you a question.
You're trying to get rid of me.
The fact that you are freaking out about it is unreasonable. Would you take a job with the Rangers?
But that means that I can't do the show with you, so I'd have to leave you and then go do this.
How about if Coach approached you and said, listen, we want you to coach with us. We will make accommodations when you're on the road, set up the Comrex. You still do the show. It's an early show. You'll have plenty of time to continue along with your coaching and your show hosting duties. We want you that badly. We'll pay you really good money for an assistant job in this league. Will you come work with us?
See, it wouldn't even be about the money. You know how much I love coaching. I would have to seriously consider it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you turn that down?
Now, how does it work out when you play the Islanders now? I mean, you are now public enemy number one. You are an Islander. You love the Islanders. You live on the island, and now you're going to be a Rangers coach?
I would almost have to recuse myself from that situation. I'd have to take those games off.
Yeah, that would be very, very difficult for you. All right. Speaking of taking games off and days off, Aaron Judge, let's go back there. You know, you're a Yankees fan. You got to be beside yourself. Really. I mean, every team has their Achilles heel. And right now it feels like the only thing, we've seen this for years now, that is the Achilles heel of the Yankees is health. And already we're a couple days into the season, and the one guy that you're most concerned about, is he going to stay healthy or is he not? He's such a dynamic piece to this organization, is Aaron Judge. And Rick, we're right back where we thought we were going to be. And you've brought this up, and I think it's been good points. All the things that we've had concerns about, health with the Yankees, right? Glaber's defense, Mets bullpen, Mets defense, all these things have reared their ugly head in the first week of the season, but I think the one you have to be really concerned about right now for the Yankees is the health of Aaron Judge.
Because he's that important to your team. And mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if I would overreact to what's happening right now. I think this is more just making sure it doesn't become a huge issue. But yeah, I mean, this is not something that going into game, you know, it was game six when you have a day off today that you want to have to hear that a guy who's swinging the bat the way that Aaron Judge is swinging the bat needs a day off.
You say overreact, but I don't think it's overreacting. There's a real track record here, and he's not playing the first week of the season.
No, I understand that. And again, I think you're right. I don't think this is just as simple as he has general soreness in his left side.
If you told me DJ LeMahieu had an ache on his left side and he'd be back Friday, I don't even think we're discussing this right now.
Well, see, I don't know if DJ LeMahieu is going to miss time with an ache on his left side. I think because he has the track record, I mean, where he's at in his career, he can't stay healthy, that the second he does feel something is, okay, we got to take a step back and make sure this thing gets back to where it needs to be before I risk blown out an oblique. Because, I mean, there's something to be said about, and I know no one wants to hear this, about missing, you know, two games as opposed to trying to push through and now doing something worse where you're missing, you know, weeks.
Sure. And we want to hear from the Yankees fan. 800-919-3776. Your, I guess, anxiety level right now. If you told me he missed yesterday, gets the day off, back in the lineup Friday, fine. I find it very hard to believe that this is not going to be something that extends out through the weekend and maybe even more so.
Well, but that's the thing,
though. I find it difficult.
But that's the thing. That this is what happens, though, when you just say, you know, he's got, you know, general soreness in his side, and then he misses yesterday, day off, and then if he misses the following game, it's like, well, we know you were lying. This isn't just general soreness. There was something that happened. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm almost of the opinion you're probably better off just being more honest about the situation. Listen,
honestly, because then people would be freaking out today. I mean, they are kind of anyway, but if he sat there and said he hurt his oblique, we don't think it's serious, but he's going to miss a couple days, people would be over the edge right now.
No, but if you explained it, like how I explained it, like, listen, he felt something in his left side. And the last thing we want to do is try to push him through game number six when we have, you know, a day off coming up where we can rest him for two straight days just to make sure that he's fine because we don't want him to rip up his oblique and now miss,
yep,
you know, month of the season.
You think he plays tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't know how bad the tweak in his side was and how sore he is. Because if he's still sore, he's not gonna.
Well, it's obviously been bothering him for days, right? Because they gave him the day off in right field and they put him at DH. So that was the beginning of this. And then he gets the day off yesterday. And I remember we talked about this, I think, off the air yesterday, that Jack Curry said that he was not running the bases well the night before. So this is obviously something that's been bothering him for a good couple of days now.
Here's the interesting thing, though, Dave, and this is something that I struggle with when I started to always get hurt, is that all of a sudden you start to try to do things differently. Like, the reason why they bring in Eric Cressy was because he wanted them to do things differently. Like, we're going to do more stretching, more pliability, more yoga. We're going to, you know, cut down on, you know, how many swings you take in the cage. But athletes are so neurotic with how they prepare. And if you prepare a certain way and you have success, that's the only way you want to prepare. Like, remember when David Wright hurt himself and he was coming back and he finally got back and he's like, I can't do what I used to do. Like, I can't sit in the cage and take, you know, 200 swings anymore. I can't get on the field and take, you know, 200 ground balls. I can only take, you know, 25 swings and I can only take 25 ground balls. Like, do you know how hard that is for an athlete to all of a sudden say, okay, because you never feel like, the one crazy thing about an athlete is you never feel like you've done enough. Like, for most athletes, if some is good, well, why wouldn't more be better?
More be better, right.
And that's when you start getting yourself in trouble. Like, I'm always like if I'm Aaron Judge and I had my 2017 where I hit the 52 home runs, well, I took this many swings in the cage, I did this, this, and this. But now I can't keep doing that because it's not conducive to me staying healthy. But in your mind, you're like, well, but I need that. Like, I need to do that much, otherwise I can't be the same player.
It's hard for people to change. I mean, it's hard for the normal person to change and realize that they're not able to do what they used to be able to do. For the athlete, I can only imagine. Let's go to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Jimmy in Jersey City. Good morning, Jim.
Yo, Davey. Davey, what's going on?
What's up, Jimmy?
All right, so I see it already. It's coming. You know, the Yankees, the big dudes are going to get hurt again like they do every season. They're not going to hit with the runners in scoring position late down in the season. And I'm going to put myself through 145 games of thinking we got this. Late in the season, it's going to get tight, and ALCS will crumble again. You know, that's how it goes.
So you are very negative, and you're almost going to do a preemptive strike with your Yankees to not fall in love and have high expectations and watch it all fall apart in front of your face in October.
I'm doing the same thing I do with the Giants. I'm just trying to not get my hopes up early.
But the Giants stink, Jimmy. I mean, the Giants win like 3 to 6 games a year almost every year now. The Yankees are terrific, whether or not Judge is in the lineup.
No, this is true, but it's just that I relate Judge and Stanton to Yao Ming. They're too big to stay healthy. It's just they're too big. They're going to get hurt. They got to figure out something with these guys.
But they got to be managed, Jimmy. Those are players that have to be managed. And it sucks as a fan because you want to see them play every day because you know how good they are and how much they help your team win. But, I mean, that's where they're at, is that they're going to need, you know, more days off than other players. They're going to have to be handled differently. And right now you're in a spot where, when injury is your big, because like when you put it into context, the guy hasn't stayed healthy. We haven't won a World Series. We haven't been back to a World Series. And going into this season, your biggest fear was, oh no, I can't. We have to find a way to get through a season healthy. And now all of a sudden you're in game
six. We're a week into the season today.
Yeah, that's why everyone's freaking out about it.
I understand. I would be as well. Listen, it's 3 games and I'm freaking out about the Mets bullpen.
Well, because it's been awful.
Horrendous. Let's go to Alex in the car. Alex, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time, long time.
What's going on, Alex?
I got the Mets bullpen here. Obviously, it hasn't been great in the first couple of days.
Hasn't been great, Alex. Hasn't been great. I mean, come on. Yeah,
but what can we do? I know Lugo's coming back, but, like, I don't think that'll be enough. Obviously, we don't have any prospects thanks to our boy Brody, but what do you guys think we can do to bolster up that bullpen?
I'm hoping that, you know, Trevor May will figure it out. I mean, it wasn't
better.
His second appearance wasn't great. I mean, he worked himself into trouble, but he found his way out of it. I think Castro's going to be fine. It's just, you realize how important the bullpen is going to be this season. It really is. With how many innings you're going to try to cover, you're going to put a lot of stress on your bullpen.
Well, a couple things also. You're going to get to a point where Syndergaard comes back and Carrasco comes back, right? Which means that there are guys that are in your starting staff now, which will go to the bullpen.
Lugo's going to come back as well. So there are, at some point, reinforcements down the road. But listen, to watch this bullpen, it's been three games, and you just, every time they go to the pen, you're like, oh, God, here we go again. It's troubling. It's really bad.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't be concerned about it. I mean, unless you haven't watched the three games, yeah, of course you're concerned about it. I mean, yesterday was no different.
Yeah, but at least like you felt like the game was already lost. Like the bullpen lost game one.
Yeah, but they were still getting tons of opportunities, man.
I mean, know.
You keep it where it's at, you get one big hit, and it's a different ball game. As opposed to the second you come in, it's one swing, see you later, game is over.
They should be 2-1. They should not be 1-2 right now.
Well, yeah, just another Jacob DeGrom start wasted.
I can't believe they do this to the poor guy. He better see a therapist. He has to.
Well, he's just have to put the whole, like, winning games, he has to put that out of his mind.
Yeah, but do you understand how, like, think about this if this was you. How emotionally damaging it would be to your psyche if you went out there and you allowed a goal every game and you lost every game 1-0.
I'm emotionally broken.
I mean, what more is the guy supposed to do?
No, it would be torture because, I mean, the reason why you play is to win. But at a certain point, I mean, Jacob DeGrom just has to focus on what he needs to do. And if the guys around him can't figure it out, then...
Well,
of course he does. They scored two runs, and he was responsible for one of them.
I know, and he allowed none. He was dominant. All right, let's find out where we are, Santi. What are our three stars of the day?
Today's three stars of DCR, number three.
Well, before I even start, I just want to point out that I really do hope that this segment doesn't become a waste of time in your eyes like you did, like you kind of implied.
You know, you're putting words into my mouth, and obviously this has haunted you for the last hour plus. I didn't say Nobservations was a waste of time. I said the way it was being run today made it feel like it was no longer Nobservations.
This was an upper management decision.
You know what? If we're going to do it like that, let's just call it Observations, because that's what it was. Observations around sports.
Star number three, we're going to go back to where it began. It is the Thursday. Rick with the stellar open. I'm not even going to play it back because it was flawless. It might, dare I say, be the best open that we've ever had on
this. Hey!
And I feel very strongly about that. Rick, give yourself a pat on the back, round of applause, whatever it is. It was fantastic. Great job out of you.
Just because you screwed up Nobservations, don't take it out on me.
Number two.
Star number two, Dave will appreciate this one. We finally have a Chris Canty drop.
Basketball is back.
Now you can quit asking for it. It's there. We have it. We can move on.
He sounds so confused. Like, yes, basketball is back. Correct. He's asking the question, and then he answers the question.
Number one.
Number one. You guys talked about continuity errors in movies, and the sports movies especially. Friday Night Lights, The Mighty Ducks. Things that irritate you. And now I'm really looking forward to just getting Rick irritated when it comes to hockey movies and things that don't make sense. So I'm really glad you brought this to my attention. I'm getting a lot out of it in future shows.
Run with it, Santi. Run with it. KJZ, more on Aaron Judge. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, Plague of Champion. It's DPH Canty Rothenberg and
everybody.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.